continued interest in your prayers tonight, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Isn't it wonderful that we can open our Bible and we can read something we've been reading for years and years, and the Lord, by His Spirit, can just open our eyes to more beauty in the Word than we've seen before. It's just such a blessing that we can continue to keep reading that same Word over and over and over, and continue to have our souls fed when the Spirit blesses us to glean from the pages of His Holy Writ. Luke chapter 17. I want to notice tonight the passage of those 10 lepers. You remember those? We have spoken about them a number of times. But I'm going to read verses 11 through 19, and then we'll go back and notice particularly some points about it. So Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he, that is Jesus, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, don't you love that? When the Scripture speaks about a certain man or a certain village, as it does here, that tells me that there was a purpose involved. There was a reason. The Lord never did anything haphazardly. He always was doing, He said, I do always those things which please Him. That means He was always guided by the Holy Spirit. We can try to do the same thing, can't we? That whatever we do, we want to be in the will of God. Okay? So it says, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. A very familiar passage. If the building were full tonight, we could still say, where are the 9? If all the Primitive Baptists that profess to be Primitive Baptists were gathered together, we could still say, where are the 9? God has a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. People. He has had a people, as long as there's been people on the earth. But as far as those who worship him in spirit and in truth, it's just a remnant. And that's why Jesus would say, "Fear not, little flock." The truth is never going to be popular with the masses. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been. But aren't you thankful tonight? And as we approach this Thanksgiving holiday season, and I'll have to say, and I've said many times, it's my favorite holiday, if you will, of the year. Because it's not commercialized. I'm sure the grocery stores are thankful for it. But there's just not a whole lot that the world makes out of Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, they don't even call it Thanksgiving for the most part nowadays. There's various names. Turkey Day and Thanks Day and all that. There's just a lot of changes. But I'm thankful that we still observe a holiday called Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful that we know to whom we're thankful. And I'm thankful that we're blessed to know what he's done for us. The hope that we have of heaven. We prayed with Sister Glenda this afternoon. And the doctors have told her she doesn't have much time left. And yet, when we spoke about the hope of heaven, and we spoke about God's people being there, redeemed, without the loss of one, I tell you, that gave her heart more cheer and more joy than anything else you could say. Because when you've been told that's all you got left is a few days, your perspective changes on what's important in this world. And her focus is on the Lord. And she's thankful for her salvation, for her hope of heaven, and that someday she'll be there. All right? So, here was a day when Jesus was going, he was on his way to Jerusalem. And he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Well, you know what the Jews thought about Samaria. And it went way back, hundreds of years, to a time when God judged Israel. And there were many of the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes, the tribes of Israel, were carried over into Samaria and resettled there. And the people there mixed with the people of the land, and they became what the Jews referred to as half-breeds, the Samaritans. They were half Jew and half of the other people that were there. And so they were looked down upon. They weren't purebred Jews. And the Jewish people just really looked down upon them. But a good Bible student, as you're reading through the scriptures, you'll find some of the most blessed acts that were done by some Samaritans. And it's evidence to us that God had a people among those Samaritans, that there was no reason to be looking down upon them. Bless your hearts, there were good people among the Samaritans, just like there's good people everywhere today. We don't know where God has worked in the hearts of his people. You know, Ruth, she was a Moabite. She was a Moabite, all right? And those people were always a thorn in the side of Israel. But she happened to end up being in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they went through Samaria. Well, now Galilee was kind of like that too. Galilee was thought of as, you know, that place on the other side of the tracks. Nazareth especially was looked down upon, all right? So anyway, we find that as they went through this place, they encountered these 10 lepers. Now, it says, he entered into the certain village and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And we know why that is, don't we? According to the law, they had to keep their distance. If they had been diagnosed, if you will, or determined to be a leper, unclean, contagious, then they had to keep their distance. They stood afar off. They had to. They couldn't interact with anybody except other lepers. Can you imagine being separated from your family, being separated from your friends, not able to be with them? Well, we've had a little bit of a taste of that here in the last few years, haven't we? Been told to stay inside and not mingle with other people and all those kind of things. We had a touch of it, and I'm going to tell you something. There was a lot of depression. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of people that were very depressed having to stay indoors and not get out and associate with other people. Well, these lepers had to stay. They had leper colonies, so at least they were able to be with other people who were in the same condition, but they were all people that when you saw somebody else, you had to announce to them from a distance, unclean. You had to call yourself unclean all the time. No doubt that had a psychological effect on people as well. But they cried unto the Lord. They stood afar off. And when they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master," they knew who he was. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That was their only plea. Mercy. Do you know that's our only plea? Have mercy, Lord. There's so many things about ourselves. There's so many things going on in the world. All we can plead is for the mercy of God. Amen. To help us in those things that we stand in need of. You know, the longer I live, the more I appreciate the mercy of God. Oh, yeah. The more I realize how much I need. You know, I guess maybe years past, maybe I thought that I'd learn and I'd get to a place where I didn't quite need as much mercy as I did before, but that hasn't been my lot. We need the mercy of God every day. And so these men, though they were lepers, though they were unclean, though they had to stand afar off, they knew who Jesus was. And they knew he was Master. And they knew what to ask. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, what did he do? What did Jesus do when he saw them? Did he give them some requirements? Did he give them a great task to do? When he saw them, he said unto them, here's what he told them to do. Go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, what was that going to do? Well, not much without the grace and power of God. Had not Jesus had mercy on them, when they got to the priest, they'd have still been lepers. The priest would have still called them a leper. I mean, there's nothing they could have done apart from the mercy and the grace of God in this situation for a good outcome. They were unclean. You know, leprosy in the Bible is symbolic of sin. And what happened when man sinned? He was separated from God. Death, that's what, you know, Romans 5:12 tells us, if wherefore, as by one man, in other words, Adam being the responsible party, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, their sin changed them physiologically. There was a difference made. And once that change was made, that when they had children, that change was passed to them as well. Every child that's ever been born into this world, Jesus Christ accepted, because God made a special way for him to be conceived and to be born. But every child born into this world is a sinner under the condemnation of sin. Unclean. Job asked the question a long time ago, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Can you answer that? Probably, because you probably know the rest of the verse. The answer that Job gave was, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? The answer was, not one. And what he's referring to is man by his ability. Because we know there was one unclean that brought forth a clean. But that was by the grace and power of God. He designed a way that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost, so he was free from sin, and he made a way for Jesus to be born, and he was clean. All right? So in that sense, there was a clean brought forth, but it was only by the power of God that that happened. Everybody else that's been born in this world have been born under the condemnation of sin. And we are unclean before God. But we're thankful that we know the truth of what God has done. Now, these men, they were lepers. Unclean. That leprosy is symbolic of sin. All right? So they came to the Lord, said, Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he told them what to do. Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went. Kind of leads us to believe that if they had just stayed there, they might not have been cleansed. But as they went, they were cleansed. Okay? And one of them, when he saw, he was healed. Just one. Turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, their going to the priest is not what cleansed them. Jesus told them what to do, but it was his power that cleansed them. So when we think about what someone can do to be clean from sin, you know, going back to Job, Job also said, I know it is so of a truth, but how shall man be just with God? Faith told him it's so, but he didn't know how. when we've been blessed to hear the good news of the gospel. We have the same faith in us. And we've been blessed to hear the good news of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. And bless your hearts, when we are awakened by the Spirit of God, when we have been born again, when we have been made alive in the Spirit, when God has given us eternal life because he's given us the new birth, then we realize we're unclean before God. In and of ourselves, you know, Paul, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, that is in my flesh, he says, dwelleth no good thing. If there's anything good in us, it's because God put it there. It's not because of this flesh. And so the gospel teaches us. And if we have been made alive in the Spirit, then we're able to hear the gospel and hear the good news of what Jesus has done for us. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says to Timothy, verse 9, he says, according to the power of God who has saved us and called us. He didn't offer salvation, he did it. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But then verse 10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He didn't bring life and immortality to life, L-I-F-E. He brought it to light through the gospel. The gospel simply shines a light so that we can see the truth. These men were lepers. Leprosy represents sin. Jesus told them what to do. And when they followed the instruction that they were given, bless your hearts, they heard the good news from the priest. But they didn't have to wait for the priest. The priest didn't have anything to do with them being cleansed. It was the Lord Jesus that did it. But what good news it was to them to realize that they were clean. And one of them turned around to give glory to God. He knew where that came from. Glory to God. It wasn't something they did. It wasn't because they showed themselves to the priest. The cleansing was experienced before they got there. And so one of them turned around. And I want you to get this picture here. As they went, verse 14, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So first of all, he gave glory to God. But that's not all he did. And fell down on his face at his feet. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. They'd already called him Jesus. They'd already called him Master. And now this man is coming and he fell down at Jesus' feet and worshiped him, giving him thanks. Isn't that worship? Mm-hmm. Giving thanks is worship. Why do we give thanks? Because he has blessed us to know what we are by nature. He has blessed us to know that though we're a sinner, he sent his son to this world to save us from our sins. He has washed us clean in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And bless your hearts, that's something that God, by his mercy, by his grace, and by his power, has accomplished for us. That's something to thank him for. If he's blessed us to know him, if he's blessed us to know what he's done for us, if he's blessed us to understand that it was by his grace, we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, we couldn't work for it, there's nothing we could ever do to obtain it, but by his mercy and his grace, he has provided it. And so we find, just like he says in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. That's what he's done for us, by his grace. Why wouldn't we thank him for it? Why wouldn't we give him praise? Why wouldn't we bow down and worship at his feet to give him thanksgiving and praise for his grace and mercy upon us? Now, I might could quote the rest of this, but go to Ephesians chapter 2 for just a minute. I want to get a few more verses there. What I quoted was verses, let me see. I started at verse 4, and I quoted verse 5. But let's get the several more verses here. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together. Now, this is our position in Christ. We still, in this life, we still come short. We're still here. What he's describing for us is our position in Christ. What we have in him, he has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in him, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with him at the right hand of the Father. Positionally, that's what we have by the grace of God. It's ours. We don't have to obtain it. He's given it to us. We don't have to try to keep it. We're preserved in Christ. We're waiting for the time that this will, as he says in Romans chapter 8, we're waiting to it the for the. Let me turn to it. That's a word I'm not getting. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay, there's coming a time when Jesus is coming back to get us. All the legal work's been done. And there'll come a time when he will come back and take us home, receive us unto himself and take us home to be with him. And that time is, he says, awaiting the adoption, to wit, which means that is the redemption of our body. We still live in this body of flesh. There's coming a time when this body is going to be redeemed. It's going to be changed. If we've departed this life, if this body has gone to the grave, then there's coming a time when he's going to call us from the body from the grave. If we're alive and remain when he comes again, we're going to be changed. But either way, this body has to be redeemed. It has to be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. But in Christ, our position is we're already in him. It's ours. Heaven is our home. And we're just waiting for the adoption. Okay? So he says, back in Ephesians 2, he has raised us up together, made us sit together. There's a lot of togetherness here, by the way. I love that, don't you? About Ephesians chapter, there's a lot of togetherness in Ephesians chapter 2.
Oh, yeah.
All right? He's raised us up together. And that word, raised us up together, that word together there means at the same time. You know, some of God's people were born thousands of years ago. Some of God's people, since we're still here, I'm taking the position that some of God's people haven't yet been born. But what he's talking about here is something that happened all together at the same time. And what that tells us is we were chosen in Christ at the same time. We were redeemed by his precious blood at the same time. And when he comes back to redeem these bodies, it's going to happen at the same time. Whether we're alive or whether we've passed the scene of this life, it's going to happen at the same time. Together. You talk about togetherness. We're looking forward to being together in the Lord in heaven. And he talked about that in chapter 1. When he said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. I'm sorry, back to verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's his purpose. That's why Jesus came, to save us from our sins. All right, so again, verse 6 in Ephesians 2. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come. Now that's from now till he comes again and forevermore. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. I'm sorry, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. If there's anything for which we ought to be thankful tonight, it's what he's done for us through Christ Jesus. Because in the ages to come, when he's redeemed these bodies, when he's fashioned us like to his glorious body, when we understand it better, and when we have the mind that we need to have or the heart that we need to have to praise him in perfection, we will be thanking him for the redemption that we have through his blood. In the ages to come, we will be singing his praises and thanking him for all that we have in him. Then he goes on in verse 8, a very familiar verse, For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This one leper, this one man that had been cleansed of his leprosy, returned to give thanks unto God. And not only did he glorify God with a loud voice, he fell down at Jesus' feet and worshiped him. And I just believe that that's representative, because he says, fear not, little flock. It's a little flock. Even though his people are a multitude of people, it's a little flock. And there's a remnant. According to the election of grace, there's a remnant that will praise and adore his matchless name and be thankful for his blessings. And so there were just one who were blessed to know and who turned and gave thanks to God for the great blessing he received. And he was a Samaritan, it says. Greatly looked down upon by the Orthodox Jews. And yet it was this one Samaritan. Well, I don't know, there may have been others that were Samaritans among them, but this one who returned to give him thanks was a Samaritan. Somehow, I wonder if this message wasn't intended to tell those Jews, you're not thankful, but this man was. So, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And I've asked the question earlier tonight, but I'll ask it again. Where are the nine? We know there's so many more of God's people. I don't mean just tonight. I mean in general. There are so many more of God's people who ought to be praising Him and thanking Him for the many blessings that are theirs to enjoy. That when Job said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? And God has blessed us to understand the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. He's blessed us to understand that though we didn't deserve it, by His grace, He has blessed us with it. And by His grace, we've been given His Spirit, given eternal life. And by His grace, we've been able to hear the gospel of our salvation, the truth of how we are saved. We're not out here trying to work our way to heaven. We're not out here trying to save anybody else. Bless your hearts, Jesus saved His people from their sins. But just being reminded of that saves me from discouragement. It saves me from ignorance. It saves me from many things or temptations to go astray and those kinds of things. The gospel saves us here in time from the ungodly influences that are around us. And what a blessing that we are blessed to know that we are just and holy in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else. He saved us. So we want to give Him thanks. We want to praise His holy name. So Jesus said, where are the nine? Where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And He said unto him, now He's not finished. This is not the end. His saying, where are the nine, is not the end of what Jesus had to say to this man. He's already cleansed. He's already come back and he's given thanks to God. But then Jesus tells him something else. He says, arise, go thy way. So the man was on his face worshiping Jesus. I can't think of a better place to be. But just like Jesus told that man who had been the wild Gadarean, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Didn't Jesus have compassion on these 10? And yet only one returned. And so to that one, He says, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, it wasn't his faith that healed him. But that wholeness and that soundness, you know, we know that we're sinners. But there's a wholeness that comes in knowing that Jesus has saved us from our sins. There's an answer of a good conscience when we come to Him and we want to be identified with Him and we take up our cross to follow Him and we're baptized. You know, Peter says it's an answer of a good conscience. It's what the Lord told us to do, and that's what we want to do. And there's wholeness, there's soundness in obeying what the Lord tells us to do. And bless your hearts, when we follow in the paths of righteousness and we do those things which are pleasing unto Him, we have that spirit of soundness and wholeness. Yes, we know we're still sinners, but we also know that Jesus has washed away our sins and that we stand before Him as holy and just by His grace. What a blessing. What a blessing that man received. And we also realize that we're unclean in and of ourselves. This old flesh that we're unclean before God, but God has blessed us to know what he's done for us. And so we give him praise. We thank him. And we should thank him. No matter how much we thank him, we can never thank him enough. That's why he's given us eternity, right? Just long enough to praise him enough. We'll never thank him enough for the blessings he's given us. But we will have the opportunity, and we'll have a perfect heart, and we'll have a perfect mind, and we'll have a perfect understanding of what he's done for us, and then we'll be able to praise him as we should. May God help us, not only on Thanksgiving Day to think about Thanksgiving, but every day we live, every day, till he comes again. May we thank him for the grace that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you is our prayer.